Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered through all generations. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, last week we began to reflect upon the upcoming celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, and to do that, we used the theme of Emmanuel. Remember, children, Emmanuel means God with us. We talked about the sign of Emmanuel, how God would give this sign to a king who was being oppressed by other nations coming against them, that a virgin would conceive and have a child. And that sign was a sign of God's presence. Emmanuel means God with us. We saw that God with us could be there either in blessing or God with us in judgment. You need to reflect upon the theme of God with us and Emmanuel. This morning we look back farther in history, back into the time of Israel being in captivity in Egypt, and the story of Moses and the burning bush, to reflect upon what does it mean to have God with us? What does it mean that God dwells with His people? And I think maybe it's important to say somewhat, perhaps in passing, when we talk about Emmanuel and God with us, we're talking about God with us, not God in us. It was this time of year, just a couple years ago, I heard an advertisement on the radio, and someone talked about celebrating Emmanuel at this time of year, God with us. And the commercial went on to say, so in this time of year, it's important for all of us to look inside and to reflect upon the divinity God has given to each of us. After all, Emmanuel means God with us. And so, reflect upon your own divinity and let that out this time of year. That is not what we mean when we talk about God with us. We are talking about the objective, holy, righteous God who is other than us, coming down to dwell with His people. Not some sort of seed of divinity inside that we have to cultivate, but recognizing the holy God, the righteous God, the just God comes down to dwell with His people. His presence in the midst of His people. We talk about the story of Moses and what was going on at the time. Israel was in captivity. They had gone down to Egypt many years earlier, gone down and thrived in the land of Egypt. And as they grew and grew in number, the Egyptians became nervous about that and began to oppress the people of Israel. And God, they cried out to God and wondering, is God still with us? We were God's chosen people, but now we're in captivity, we're being oppressed. What about God with us? What about Emmanuel? Does God still dwell with His people? We're in captivity. We're being oppressed. We're under these harsh taskmasters. Where is God? And so God prepares His servant Moses to take those people out of captivity. God will come down once again and He will revitalize and free His people. He will send His presence among them. And we see in this story of Moses and the burning bush, the reminder that when we are in the presence of a holy God, there is a certain reverence that is required. Moses is out keeping the flocks of his father-in-law, and he sees this bush that is burning. There's a flame there, but the bush is not consumed by the flame. So he says, I'm going to go and take a look at this thing. And so he goes to approach this burning bush that is not consumed. And as he gets closer to that bush, a voice calls out to him and says, Moses, Moses. And I'm always surprised that Moses says, here I am. I think I'd have said, well, there's a bush talking to me, you know. But Moses responds, here I am. And he hears the voice from the bush that says, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet. For the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Moses, in his response, here I am, recognizes this is the presence of God. And God speaks to him and says, stop. Wait. Don't come any closer. Why does God stop Moses' children? Why doesn't He say, hey, come on up to the bush. Take a closer look. It is the presence of God that is there in that burning bush. And Moses is told, for his own good, stop, don't come near. Man cannot simply approach God whenever and wherever he pleases, on his own terms. But he comes on God's terms. God says, take off your sandals from your feet. The place on which you are standing is holy ground. Take your shoes off. And I've always found that kind of interesting too. You know, I thought if the ground is holy ground, and God doesn't want Moses to come near, shouldn't he keep his shoes on to keep him from touching the holy ground? Why does God say, take your sandals off? Because remember the type of land they were living in. It was not northwest Iowa where it's cold and snowy outside. It was the desert where it's sandy outside. And they would wear sandals to keep their feet from getting dirty. The sandals would get all kind of sand and stuff on them, but the feet would stay clean. And what God is saying is, when you approach me, don't approach with that uncleanness still attached to you. Take off your sandals. Remove the uncleanness. Because you're on holy ground. There is the necessity for a cleansing as we approach a holy God. We read about that in the psalm we read earlier for our call to confession. those with clean hands, those with pure hearts, approach this holy God. And Moses is told, take off the uncleanness, take off your shoes. There is a cleansing required before approaching this great and awesome God. And God speaks to Moses out of the bush, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. A reverence, an awe, a fear, as he recognized he was in the presence of God Himself. Today, God is with us as we worship. Today, by the Holy Spirit, He Himself, God, the Holy God, dwells in our midst. How do we approach Him in worship? Do we recognize what it is we do as we gather together? That we're not just getting together for a nice social time, but we are gathering at the invitation and in the presence of the holiness of God Himself. We should not just walk up casually. It takes preparation to come into the presence of a holy God. Preparing to have Him meet us in worship. We should prepare for that. Children, if you were going to go and watch a movie, you know, there's this new Disney movie, Tangled, that's come out. Now, I'm not recommending the movie because I haven't seen it, so I can't give a recommendation. But I know some of you have seen it. And if you're going to go to that movie, kids, you wouldn't want to miss a minute. So before going into the theater, you would get your popcorn, if Dad gave you money. Okay? You'd get your pop, your soda. You'd use the restroom ahead of time. Because you don't want to miss a minute. Do we have the same type of preparation as we come into the presence of a holy God? Being prepared because we don't want to miss a minute. We don't want to have to go out to do anything. God Himself is here. And He says, when you approach me, there is a reverence, there is an awe, there's a fear, there's a preparation. We don't just walk up casually. I guess I'll come and go as I feel. No, there's a reverence required in the presence of God. There's a cleansing required in that presence. And we'll talk about that as we see the purpose for God coming to His people, that redemptive purpose that He has. We read in verse 7, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and who have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And then verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to go bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God says, I have come down. I've heard your cries, I've seen your affliction, and I have come down. God Himself coming down to His people. And maybe that doesn't resonate with us quite as it would with the people of the Old Testament, but up to this point, when God comes down, He comes down to show His power and to exercise judgment. In the Tower of Babel incident, we read, and God came down and judged the people. In Sodom and Gomorrah, we read, and God came down to bring His judgment. And here we read, I have heard your cries, and I have come down. That your oppressors, that the Egyptians, may be judged. I have come down to judge them, but to rescue you. People of Israel, I have heard your cries. I know your sufferings, and I have come down to deliver you. deliverance for the people of Israel. A people who had been for 400 years in captivity. For 400 years living as slaves. For 400 years. And now God says, I will redeem you. I will deliver you. I will take you out because I have come down to save you, to deliver you. Is it any wonder that the release of the Israelites from captivity is a picture of what God has done for us? We recognize that we live under the bondage of sin. We live under a harsh taskmaster. And we cry out to God, won't you come and deliver? And God says, I have come down. And He comes down in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem His people, to take them out of their captivity. Not a human captivity to earthly masters, but the release of the slavery to sin. The release from a harsh taskmaster. The release and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. He has come down to deliver. He has come down to rescue. He has come down to ransom. We just sang, I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. He has the ransom freely paid. We were in bondage. And God came down. He came down to deliver. The glorious redemptive purpose in God coming to deliver and to save His people. I will deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and I will bring them into a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I will give them a place. I will give them a place to be. Now for the Israelites, that place was the land of Canaan, that narrow strip of land in the ancient Near East. That was the land of Canaan. God also says to us, I will give you a place to live, a broad and good land flowing with milk and honey. Not a thin strip of land in the ancient Near East, but God establishes His kingdom throughout the whole world. He gives us a place in which to live. He gives us the encouragement and the instruction of His Christian church, a land flowing with milk and honey, where God Himself dwells in the midst of His people. A wonderful, glorious thing to be active in God's kingdom, to be a part of His Christian church, to glory in what He has done, to recognize His presence with His people, that He has come down. But even that is only a shadow, a foretaste of our eternal glorious inheritance. When God brings us to the new heavens and the new earth, and we receive that final land flowing with milk and honey, where God Himself is the presence. There is no need for light, for God is there. We experience the blessings of God's redemption now, and yet we know that this is not the end. There is even more to come in the new heavens, in the new earth, when God forever dwells with His people. God says to Moses, I have come down, but I'm going to send you. He says to Moses, come, I will send you to Pharaoh, and I will bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to use you to do it. And Moses says, you know, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh to bring the children out? And God says, verse 12, I will be with you. What is that, children? God with us. That's Emmanuel. God says to Moses, I will be with you. Reassures him by the promise of his own presence. Moses, you will not go do this alone in your own strength. Emmanuel, I have come down. I will be with you as you go and speak, as you go and engage Pharaoh and declare to him the word of the Lord. Moses is called to serve for God. And again, we hear the echoes of what Jesus himself would say. When Jesus has come down, has redeemed his people, and prepares to leave this world, he says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you out, and lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. God with us. As we are called to bear witness to what he has done, as we are called to tell others the glorious truth of Jesus Christ, the glorious truth of the Incarnation, the glorious truth of Emmanuel, God with us. And we can do that with boldness and with confidence because God is with us. God dwells with his people. And then we have this section about the name of God, verse 13. Moses said to God, if I come to the people and say to them, the God of your fathers sent me, and they'll say, what's his name? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. And perhaps some of you have a footnote that says, I will be who I will be. This is more than just a statement on the eternality of God. When we hear it in the context of the conversation that has just taken place, I have come down, I will be with you, what's your name? I will be who I will be. I will continue to be the God with you. I will continue to be the God who cares about you, who loves you, who knows you. Yes, I am the eternal God forever, but I will be with you forever. And then God says, and to reassure you even more, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to give you a sign. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. That's the sign that God's going to be with him. I will be with you. Here's the sign. When you finish your task, you're going to come back here and worship me. Again, I think if I was Moses, I would have said, you know, Lord, isn't there something a little bit more immediate you could give to me? Because what God is saying is, go and do the work I've called you to do. After you've done it, then you will see the sign. We think of a sign as something that comes ahead of time. I'm going to send you. Here's the sign I'm going to send you. No, the sign was when you've gone, when you've done, and then when you're finally back here, you'll say, oh, that was the sign that God was faithful. The promise of God's presence is a promise received by faith. Moses had to go. Moses had to believe, and Moses had to do, and then later he would see the sign. Oh, God, you have brought us back here to serve and worship you. But it is a sign that is received by faith. God calls us to believe in him. To believe who he is. To believe he is the Emmanuel, the one who has sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save a fallen people. And we say, God, give us a sign for that. And he says, I will give you a sign. You will know the truth, but you have to believe the truth first. We receive the assurance after we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We receive after we have trusted him. We believe and then we will see it. You see, we want it the other way. Let me see it first, Lord, then I'll believe in you. God says, you believe, and then you will see, then you will know that I am who I am, and I will be who I will be with you. If you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus because you're waiting to see something, you're waiting to see Him do something, then don't wait anymore. Don't see so you can believe. You need to believe so that you can see. God said to Moses, I'll give you a sign, but you won't see it till after you believe it. And the same is true for us. God calls us to believe in His Word, to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe He is the Son of God, the one sent down, the Emmanuel, to believe that He is powerful and will wash away all of our sins. But we see it after we believe it. God says to Moses, you will come back, you will worship me on this mountain. It was on this very mountain that God would give His law, His word to His people. A reminder of God's presence, a reminder of His way with them. And God gives us that as well. We have the word of God that dwells with us. We have His law that we read Lord's Day after Lord's Day. As a reminder that God guides and directs our lives. I am with you. I will be with you. You can be certain. Because we believe the word of God. And we see then, after believing, that it is the way of righteousness and holiness and the way to respond to Him in faith and obedience. God's presence, God's holiness dwells with His people. It dwells in the midst of His church. It dwells with us as we gather this morning for worship. How do we respond to the truth that God Himself is with us? The song we began with today. Do we hide our face, knowing that we are fallen and sinful, and turn away from our sins unto Christ and believe in Him? Or do we say, I want to see more. Show me something, then I'll believe it. No, people of God, God calls you to believe now, today. Believe in who He is. Trust in Him as your Lord, as your Savior. And then you will see. And then you will know that He truly is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, You are great and You are powerful and You are holy and You are majestic. And You are here. Lord God, help us to recognize Your greatness and Your majesty, to approach You properly in worship, to undergo that cleansing which only Jesus Christ can accomplish, and to respond to You with faith and with obedience, in spite of what we might see around us. Lord God, we thank You that You have come down. You have come down to deliver us from our sins, to deliver us from our transgressions, to give us the freedom to follow You. Oh, Lord God, may we follow faithfully. May we follow wholeheartedly. May we follow believing that You are who You say You are. Hear our prayer, O God, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.